Amazing thought from Thomas Kelly. So shall thy people joyful be, and angels shall more loudly sing. That the activity here on planet Earth can cause the angels around the throne right now to even sing more loudly than they already do. Struck again by this phrase too in Thomas Kelly's hymn. Oh, pity those who sleep in sin and preserve them from the sinner's doom. We're thinking about personal evangelism. The need is desperate. The need is urgent. The people just simply don't know. On the motorway recently, driving along, Jill by my side, and we passed one of those large trucks. It was a double-decker truck, and inside were sheep. And we knew where they were going. They didn't. They were just having a trip out. But I knew where they were going. Well, they're just sheep. Say just sheep. I don't want to offend anybody. They're God's, part of God's creation. But that's the situation people are in, who we rub shoulders with day by day. Family members who are not converted, friends, family, neighbours, work colleagues, school friends, college friends. They don't know. They're, you might say, blissfully unaware. But it's going to happen. They're going to have this encounter with the judge of all the earth. There is a way out. No way to tell the sheep where they were going. They just wouldn't understand. But thank God there is this dynamite of the gospel. But it is the gospel of God, don't forget, and it needs, as well as the dynamite, the words that we have. We've got plenty of dynamite. But we need that detonator from on high to explode the dynamite in people's lives. And so that's the area we're in. We're all involved in this area of evangelism. Nobody is left out. It's a command given to every believer to be a witness, to testify, to point, to evangelize. And we do find it difficult in our different settings. You know, saying this morning, because it's a gift from God, I don't find it too difficult to stand in a pulpit and declare the gospel. Maybe you would run a thousand miles rather than come and stand here and give a message, but God has gifted me in this way, and I can evangelize to a group and to a crowd, different settings, Christian unions, schools, a hall, a chapel. As long as I've got a pulpit around me, I feel relatively safe and secure. What I struggle with is what I was saying this morning, Kerry and his team do, knocking on doors. I'm hoping people don't answer. I'm just being honest with you. And going out on the streets, I've done it. I don't find it easy. But we have different gifts. And some are just so helpful in different areas. And we're together in this. But we're all commanded to do this task of witnessing. And Paul's got to say to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist, even though you're not an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist, making Christ known. And this morning we looked at just two or three areas. We looked at what the gospel is, and we had an outline. And although it is the whole Bible, and some say, well, it's the whole Bible, but actually it's that distilled essence of truth that we get from the Bible, that irreducible minimum that without believing, you could never be saved. And we thought about that this morning, and then saw that it's the task of every single believer. And although we might not be upfront and public, we can't all be Billy Graham's or John Wesley's. We finished on the fact that we can all be Albert McMakin's. And if you weren't here this morning and don't know who Albert McMakin is, then have a listen online, because we can all certainly be Albert McMakin's. But this evening, I want to begin to open up a few passages on what it means to be a personal witness. And two verses I want to take up. First is 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, and then Colossians 4 and verse 5. But 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, and to open up that, but a very similar verse is Colossians 4 and verse 5. But let's begin with 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. So always, that's the thought coming from this verse, always being ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you for the hope that is within you. So putting it in modern English terms, if somebody asks you, what do you believe as a Christian, that you have something of a ready answer. Always be ready. Always be prepared. And then in Colossians 4 and verse 5, similar thinking, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside of the grace of God, that special grace, redeeming the time. It's not an easy translation there, but a more helpful translation rather than redeeming the time. Similar thought to it. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, making the most of every opportunity. So when an opportunity comes, you know, it happens to me, it happens to you, it's about 10 seconds later, I should have, why didn't I? And I mean, I've heard of, when I first came back here 2 years ago, I was thrilled to have a conversation in the coffee shop with a female member telling me that she'd been walking across the park and had a little chat, said the time of day with somebody, and then thought, oh, I could have said, and she went back and found that person and said what, I mean, that's wonderful. I find it hard to do that. I'd rather be prepared and to act right there at the moment. But we're told here, two scriptures, always be prepared. And when the opportunity does come, make the most of it. Make the most, be prepared, and make the most of it. But what these two verses do for us is bring two aspects of evangelism. And it oughtn't to overwhelm us. And the first is a lovely, lovely emphasis. Life. The life I live ought to be a powerful testimony and witness to the truth of the gospel. And then lip, so some alliteration for you, two L's, life and lip. Or we could put it walk and talk. That rhymes better, so you can have the alliteration of life and lip, or you can have the rhyming of walk and talk. But the first point really is the life and the walk. So here in Colossians, who's pinched it? Here it is. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside. The very life that I live should declare something quite remarkable. Now, it's a challenge to me. Is it a challenge to you? I hope it's a challenge to you. Is your life so distinctly different? Because really it ought to be. And as the world around us gets darker and darker, don't despair. It should give us more of an opportunity. Do you know, when the sun, when we see the sun in Wales, gosh, it's been so long. And the rain. What's it like in Marseille, Maggot? Is there any sun there? Oh, there is. He's nodding his head. Oh, boy. Well, let's imagine, remember that thing called the sun? Yellowish. And a blue sky. Let's say it's midday. Do you know there are as many stars out there as there are at nighttime? There really are. We can't see them because of that wonderful light coming from the sun. But let the sun go down if it's a clear night, and last night, after the rain had stopped, the clouds disappeared for a while. And what a display. Well, they're always there. but we don't see them. But when it's dark, we do. And that's how you and I should be. And as things are getting darker, what an opportunity. What an opportunity comes our way. Walk. Walk. The walk that we have, our conduct, our very lives. And then back in 1 Peter in chapter 3, here's the aspect of life. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Set apart Christ as Lord. Another version puts it where? In my heart. So before I ever get to my walk and my lifestyle, there's something that goes before that. And Peter's dealing with that now, inspired by the Spirit. Something happens in the essence of my being that drives my conduct, my actions and my reactions, my very conversations. So Paul concludes that little section in Colossians 4 when he gets to verse 6. It's a memorable verse. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. How can that happen? Well, it happens beginning in my heart, that something happens here, that I've spent time with Christ alone in my quiet time. And you might be thinking, well, do you know what? I've got a young family and the children, and a chance to have a quiet time would be a fine thing. You know, the Lord does understand your circumstances and your situation. I spent some time this afternoon meet up with a chap once a month, and he's got a young family, four young boys, and we were talking about, we're going through Tozer's book, The Pursuit of God, and it was knowing the presence of God, the omnipresence of God, and then Tozer's making that distinction between the omnipresence of God in theory and truth, and we understand it intellectually, but then the manifest presence of God. And we need to seek that in our quiet times. So I'm asking him, how are your quiet times going? Well, he's got a busy job and he's got four little boys and he's got to bring the money in. And and as we're talking, these lads are coming in out the kitchen, daddy, daddy, daddy. And I understand. I've been there. A quiet time. But the Lord does understand. And we take what opportunities we can. And he's pleased with that. So when this chap is driving his van, he's a white van man, he doesn't close his eyes, but he can pray. And he can have, instead of the radio playing some music, he can have a message being played. There are ways. There are ways. Set apart Christ as Lord in your heart. Make that your determination and my determination, for it's key. If I'm ever to be a witness for him, I must be consumed by him. I mean, that hymn's got to be true. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my precious Lord I see. I think we're going to finish with this hymn. Not now. But before too long. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary. Here it is again, the gospel, being close to the gospel. It's my only hope. It's the only hope for unbelievers. My friend, it's the only hope for me and for you as believers. Keep us near, lest I forget. Here's the problem. We do. That's why we react in certain ways. It's all about me. I've been offended. How dare he do that to me? How dare she do that to me? He said this, she said that. Wow. And then we pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You know, we have the audacity to pray things like that, and yet we hold grudges and we keep lists. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee, even thy cup of grief to share. Thou hast borne all for me.
Then this wonderful ending. Dare we sing this? Fill me, O Lord, with thy desire. That's quite a prayer for all who know not thee. Then, don't just give me the desire. So set apart Christ as Lord in your heart. But then don't leave me there, Lord. Touch my lips with holy fire to speak of Calvary. Set apart Christ as Lord. Peter, under the work of the Holy Spirit, is urging us to do that. And then to live the life. Be what you are. Our lifestyle in today's society must powerfully back up the gospel. It must. Is the gospel true? If Jesus is Lord of my life, or since he's Lord of my life, then in my life it's his way, not my way. It's his word, not my whims. What shall I do? What job? Which way shall I go? Where do I live? Which church do I attend? His words can guide me, and the principles are all here. Look to have Jesus Christ as a real, living, moment-by-moment reality. So again, thinking about just this afternoon and talking with this young chap about the omnipresence of God, we know it. We know that. But do we experience it? And we begin to share together, when did you last apprehend God? Or what do you mean? He would ask me, and on a level I'm always understanding that. But my friends, that's what we're pursuing. That it's the present reality. It's not just doing my bit of Bible reading and saying my prayers, but it is looking to encounter him. And then that shapes my life. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Look to encounter him. Think of the Apostle Paul. I want to know Christ, but don't you already know him, Paul? If anybody knew Christ, that experience on the road to Damascus. And what about that man he knew in Christ, that autobiographical section in 2 Corinthians chapter 12? Whether in the spirit or out of the body or in the body, I don't know. But I had this encounter. And then he says to the Philippians, I want to know Christ. If anybody did, surely it's you. No, I'm not satisfied, says Paul. Forgetting what's behind, I'm pressing on towards the mark. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Suffering for Christ as well as knowing. And Paul certainly had that tension, the glory of knowing the power of his resurrection and sharing in the fellowship of his sufferings. Now, I want to know him. And I love that phrase, forgetting what's behind. You know, there's no point living on past blessings. It's got to be a present reality. People will see the difference. It can't be what I used to do and what experience I once had. Second-hand memories of things in the past. Maybe we can use them to kindle a desire again. But it's a helpful phrase from Paul, inspired by the Spirit, forgetting what's behind. Now, some of us are struggling with sins of the past. If you've repented, my friend, forget what's behind. Don't let the devil drag you down. And press on again, a fresh experience of Jesus Christ today. And if yesterday was good, you can't live on that. That's yesterday. What about now? Set apart Christ as Lord. Where? In your heart. Wonderful promise in John 14. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. And if you obey my commandments, I will manifest myself to you. So here we go to this manifest presence again. And my friends, it changes everything. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The knowledge is, fundamental knowledge. It's not the the apprehending knowledge, the word is gnosko. But then tempering gnosko is grace. Growing grace. Growing the grace and the knowledge. That combination, that balance again, that old Calvinistic Methodist, the word and the spirit. That's what we need. So personal evangelism is fueled by this apprehension. And that's what I need to pursue. That's what I found at this church in the late 1970s. Oh, I had thrilling times in Pentecostalism and the good old redemption hymnal, and it was something really lovely about it. But when I came here, what I heard about was this reality of an encounter, and I saw it manifest in the services and in the lives of individuals. I don't want to be critical. Looking back, some copied a certain way of acting and a way of speaking and little mannerisms because they felt that was the right thing. But you know, as believers, we know the real thing when we see it, and it's very powerful and it's very wonderful and it's worth pursuing. Have we forgotten that there is a reality to be pursued? If we want to go about changing this area to the glory of God, it's that reality that we need. That reality. So set apart Christ as Lord, where? In your heart. So read and pray. Read good men. So I'd recommend to you again The Pursuit of God by Tozer. I'd recommend anything by A.W. Tozer. Not that he gets everything right, but he will warm your heart. Read things by J.C. Ryle. Particularly his expository thoughts on the gospel. I'm often back there because he brings it as a fresh, living reality. And then books by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who has a brain the size of a planet and also a heart on fire for the Lord. There are things that we can do to help us. And then the life then, shining through into a dark world. Jesus says to his disciples, Matthew chapter 5, that little section 13 to 16, he's completed the Beatitudes and now he comes to tell his disciples what they are. And it's all about life and lifestyle. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify. Now notice this. Let your light, so again, lifestyle, it's not a caricature, it's not something we're copying because the world can see the difference and it's a turn off, religious pomposity. Seek the reality. Let's not settle for less. And then we will live lives that so shine in such a way that the spotlight isn't on you, but on him. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Don't hide that light. Don't put it under a bowl. Nobody, says Jesus, lights a lamp and puts it under a bowl. Rather, they put it on a lampstand so it gives light to the whole of the room. I found that quite a puzzling concept. Lighting a lamp and putting it under a bowl. I mean, what's the point? It's senseless. And I thought, but isn't that what we do? We might be speaking, but if our life is contradicting the message, the light is under a bowl. It's hidden. People can actually see the difference. Let's go to Philippians now. Still on life, but we're going to be moving on to lip also. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Now, this work out your own salvation doesn't mean work out how to be saved. The Greek word, katagazomei, means live it out. You're saved, now live the life. Let it outwork. Another translation will put it this way. Perform it. Not as some sort of act, but let it be performed before men. Let them see there's something real. And he goes on here. Where have I got to? Verse 14 now. Do all things. Listen, that's a catch-all. All means all. I love these words that don't leave things out. No need for brackets there. Brackets except. Do all things without complaining. Isn't that wonderful? What a witness. What a testimony. In a world that's full of complaints and grumps. Any grumpy Christians here tonight? Shame on us. It's an oxymoron. Grumpy Christian. They should never go together. Whatever's gone wrong. Let's get back to the heart. Get back to the heart. Set apart Christ as Lord. Where? In your heart, or else there's no way, no hope. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. So now we're coming on to lips. So our very lives should shout out that something has happened, and then we have the opportunity to speak, holding fast the word of life. And the Greek word epoko means to hold out the word of life, to actually present it. So I'm living the life, then I'm getting an opportunity to actually say something. Now, people will have the question, does the gospel really work? Is Romans 1:16 really true? Is the gospel the power of God to save? Is that reality portrayed in my life, not yesterday, not last month, not last year, not when I was first converted, but now? Imagine if that were true in each and every one of us. We wouldn't need Roger Carswell. The people would just be astonished. See how they love one another. The way that was forgiven, that was put aside, the way they gave, the way they're helping these people around them. I wonder what it is. I wonder what it is. You know, I do believe that deep down, there are folks who really are hoping that the gospel's true. When they look at us, who am I disappointing? Who are you disappointing? Shining, living for him, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Jesus bids us shine with a pure, clear light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, we must shine. You in your small corner. I mean, you get to places I can't get to. I get to places you can't get to. I mean, the dog walkers round Hendra Lake, you don't know them, do you? I know quite a few of them. I know their dogs' names too. And some dogs, our dog gets on with, some he doesn't. And then we have a chat. And my, you know, the dog walking crew, and one comes to the men's breakfast when we have it on. Oh, it's next men's breakfast. I mentioned the men's WhatsApp group, and he said, oh, can I join? Can I join? So he's on it as well. So he's getting things that you're putting on there. Be careful what you put on there. But you'll be in places where I can't get to. Children, school tomorrow, I can't get into your class, but you're there. Are you different? Are you different? Or do you say, oh, isn't the teacher rubbish? That's not helpful. Because that's what the crowd are doing. But living the life. Is that really the time? Always be prepared then to speak. Set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is within you. Listen, I think that's enough for tonight. It's a good beginning. Now, we're all to be evangelists. We know what the gospel is. We got the dynamite. We need the detonator. So more in the prayer meetings, asking God to send that Holy Spirit with unction and power. And not only on the preaching, but think, remember the kids' clubs and the youth meetings and young adults and ladies' meetings, men's breakfast. But remember us as individuals. Lord, in the prayer meeting, to pray this, equip each and every one of us. Give us opportunities that we won't miss. So next time, God willing, just to go on to, we're going to be, how to be prepared. And one is to have the life, the love of the Lord in our hearts, the life portraying it. But there comes a time when we need to say something, but it's quite a section. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the gospel. Where would we be? And where would we be if nobody had spoken to us? Lord, it seems you would have found a way. We do hear of folks who come to faith who've had no human person speaking to them, but you've led them to read your word and they've been converted. But Father, thank you for those who did speak to us and prayed for us. We pray, Lord, increasingly as individuals here in this church, we will be praying day by day, Lord, lead me to somebody to speak to today and help us to set apart Christ as Lord in our hearts, the engine room where it all begins, love for Christ. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before we come to communion, let's sing this hymn, 213, King of my life, I crown thee now.
As I forget thy thought.
Father, we do thank you for the eternal gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. As we come now to this particular table set before us, we come in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, who asked us to do this simple thing in remembrance of him. Pray it would be a means of grace to each and every one of us. Help us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.